I was actually thinking of your parents, Enzo said. Although they seem to be missing, too. Enzo motioned with his head to where John and Jane had been standing a few minutes before. Now neither of them were there. I saw Savitri leaving the common area as well, as if she suddenly had some place to be. I wonder where they went, I said, mostly to myself. They're the colony leaders, Enzo said. Maybe now they have to start working. Maybe, I said. It was unusual for either John or Jane to disappear without telling me where they were going. It was just a common courtesy. I fought back the urge to message them on my PDA. So, the observation lounge, Enzo said, getting himself back to the topic at hand. You want to check it out? It's on the crew deck, I said. You think we might get in trouble? Maybe, Enzo said. But what can they do? Make us walk the plank? At worst, they'll just tell us to get lost. And until then, we'll have a heck of a view. All right, I said. But if Magdi turns into all tentacles, I'm leaving. There are some things I don't need to see. Enzo laughed. Fair enough, he said, and I snuggled into him a little. This new boyfriend thing was turning out just fine. We spent some more time celebrating with our friends and their families. Then, after things had settled down enough, we followed Magdi and Gretchen through the Magellan and toward the crew observation lounge. I thought sneaking into the crew area might be a problem. Not only was it easy, but a crew member coming out of an entrance held it open for us. Security is not a huge issue here on the Magellan, Gretchen said, back to me and Enzo, then looked down at our clasped hands and smiled at me. She was evil, sure, but she was also happy for me. The observation lounge was where it was advertised to be, but alas for Magdi's nefarious plans, it was not empty as promised. Four Magellan crew members sat at a table, intent in a conversation. I glanced over to Magdi, who looked like he had just swallowed a fork. I found this rather amusing myself. Poor, poor Magdi. Frustration became him. Look, Enzo said, and, still holding my hand, guided me to a huge observation window. Roanoke filled the view, gorgeously green, fully illuminated with her sun behind us, more breathtaking in person than she was on the monitors. Seeing something with your own eyes makes a difference. It was the most beautiful thing I think I'd ever seen. Roanoke, our world. Wrong place, I heard, barely, from the conversation at the table to the left of me. I glanced over at the table. The four Magellan crew there were so engaged in their conversation and so closed in to each other that it looked like most of their bodies were actually on the table rather than in their seats. One of the crew was sitting with his back to me, but I could see the other three, two men and a woman. The expression on their faces was grim. I have a habit of listening in to other people's conversations. It's not a bad habit unless you get caught. The way not to get caught is to make sure it looks like your attention is somewhere else. I dropped my hand from Enzo's and took a step toward the observation lounge window. This got me closer to the table while at the same time keeping Enzo from whispering sweet nothings in my ear. I kept myself visually intent on Roanoke. You don't just miss, one of the crew members was saying. And the captain sure as hell doesn't. He could put the Magellan in orbit around a pebble if he wanted to. The crew member with his back to me said something low, which I couldn't hear. That's crap, said the first crew member. How many ships have actually gone missing in the last 20 years? In the last 50? No one gets lost anymore. What are you thinking? I jumped, which made Enzo jump. Sorry, he said, as I turned to give him an exasperated look. I put a finger to my lips to shush him, and then motioned with my eyes at the table now behind me. Enzo glanced behind me and saw the table. What? He mouthed. I shook my head a tiny bit to tell him he shouldn't distract me anymore. He gave me a strange look. I took his hand again to let him know I wasn't upset with him, but then focused my attention back to the table. Calm. We don't know anything yet, said another voice, this one belonging, I think, to the woman. Who else knows about this? Another mutter from the crew member facing away from me. Good. We need to keep it that way, she said. I'll clamp down on things in my department if I hear anything, but it only works if we all do it.
It won't stop the crew from talking, said someone else.
No, but it'll slow down the rumors, and that's good enough until we know what's really happened, the woman said.
Yet another mutter.
Well, if it's true, then we have bigger problems, don't we? Said the woman, and all the strain she was experiencing was suddenly clear in her voice.
I shuddered a little.
Enzo felt it through my hand and looked at me, concerned. I gave him a serious hug. It meant losing the rest of the conversational thread, but at the moment, it's what I wanted. Priorities change. There was the sound of chairs pushing back. I turned, and the crew members, it was pretty clear they were actually officers, were already heading toward the door. I broke away from Enzo to get the attention of the one closest to me, the one who had had his back to me earlier. I tapped him on the shoulder. He turned and seemed very surprised to see me.
Who are you? He said.
Has something happened to the Magellan? I asked. The best way to learn stuff is not to get distracted, for example, by questions relating to one's identity. The man actually scowled, which is something I'd read about but had never actually seen someone do until now.
You were listening to our conversation.
Is the ship lost? I asked. Do we know where we are? Is something wrong with the ship? He took a step back, like the questions were actually hitting him. I should have taken a step forward and pressed him. I didn't. He regained his footing and looked past me to Enzo and Gretchen and Magdi, who were all looking at us. Then he realized who we were and straightened up.
You kids aren't supposed to be here. Get out or I'll have the ship security throw you out. Get back to your families.
He turned to go. I reached toward him again.
Sir, wait, I said.
He ignored me and walked out of the lounge.
What's going on? Magdi asked me from across the room. I don't want to get in trouble because you've pissed off some random crew member.
I shot Magdi a look and turned to look out the window again. Roanoke still hung there, blue and green, but suddenly not as beautiful, suddenly unfamiliar, suddenly threatening. Enzo put his hand on my shoulder.
What is it, Zoe? He said.
I kept staring out the window. I think we're lost, I said.
Why?
Gretchen asked. She had come up beside me.
What were they talking about?
I couldn't hear it all, I said. But it sounded like they were saying we're not where we're supposed to be. I pointed to the planet, that this isn't Roanoke.
That's crazy, Magdi said.
Of course it's crazy, I said. Doesn't mean it might not be true. I pulled out my PDA from my pocket and tried to connect with Dad. No answer. I tried connecting to Mom. No answer.
Gretchen, I said, would you try calling your dad?
Gretchen's dad was on the colonial council my parents headed up.
He's not answering, she said after a minute.
It doesn't mean anything bad, Enzo said. We did just skip to a new planet. Maybe they're busy with that.
Maybe they're still celebrating, Magdi said.
Gretchen smacked him upside the head.
You really are childish, Magdi, she said.
Magdi rubbed the side of his head and shut up. This evening was not going anything like he had planned.
Gretchen turned to me. What do you think we should do?
I don't know, I said. They were talking about keeping the crew from talking. It means some of them might know what's going on. It won't take long to get to the colonists.
It's already gotten to the colonists, Enzo said. We're colonists.
We might want to tell someone, Gretchen said. I think your parents and my dad need to know at least.
I glanced down at her PDA. I think they might know already, I said.
We should make sure, she said.
So we left the observation lounge and went looking for our parents. We didn't find them. They were in a council meeting. I did find Hickory and Dickory, or rather, they found me.
I think I should go, Enzo said, after they'd stared at him, unblinking for a minute.
It wasn't meant as intimidation. They don't blink at all. I gave him a peck on the cheek. He and Magdi left.
I'm going to listen around, Gretchen said. See what people are saying.
All right, I said. Me too. I held up my PDA. Let me know what you hear. She left. I turned to Hickory and Dickory.
You two, I said. You were in your room earlier.
We came looking for you,
Hickory said. It was the talker of the two,
Dickory could talk, but it was always a surprise when it happened.
Why? I said. I was perfectly safe before. I've been perfectly safe since we left Phoenix Station. The Magellan is entirely threat-free. The only thing you've been good for this entire trip is scaring the crap out of Enzo. Why are you looking for me now?
Things have changed, Hickory said.
What do you mean? I asked, but then my PDA vibrated. It was Gretchen.
That was fast, I said.
I just ran into Micah, she said. You won't believe what she said a crew member just told her brother.
The adult colonists may have been either clueless or tight-lipped, but the Roanoke teenager rumor mill was in full swing. In the next hour, this is what we learned. That during the skip to Roanoke, the Magellan had wandered too close to a star and had been thrown out of the galaxy. That there was a mutiny, and the first officer had relieved Captain Zane of command because of incompetence. That Captain Zane shot his own traitorous first officer right there on the bridge and said he'd shoot anyone who tried to help him. That the computer systems had failed just before the skip, and we didn't know where we were. That aliens had attacked the ship and were floating out there, deciding whether to finish us off. That Roanoke was poisonous to human life, and if we landed there, we'd die. That there was a core breach in the engine room, whatever that meant, and that the Magellan was this close to blowing up. That eco-terrorists had hacked into the Magellan's computer systems and sent us off in another direction so that we couldn't ruin another planet.
No, wait. It was wildcat colonists turned pirates who hacked in, and they were planning to steal our colony supplies because their own were running low. No, wait. It was mutinous crew members who were going to steal our supplies and leave us stranded on the planet. No, wait. It wasn't thieving crew, wildcat pirates, or eco-terrorists. It was just some idiot programmer who messed up the code, and now we don't know where we are.
No, wait, there's nothing wrong. This is just the standard operating procedure. There's not a thing wrong. Now stop bothering the crew and let us work, damn it.